Right, I don't know of any book in the Bible that will help you more than the book of Romans to understand what this is all about. There's a few chapters in Romans that are just extra important, and that's what we're doing. I kept backing up. I wanted to start in 4 and then 3, and then I thought, well, you know, that ain't really what I want to cover. There's some things back there that are important to understanding what we're talking about in 6, 7, and 8. But, you know, we've already mentioned that about the Jews. The last time I preached Wednesday night, I think, before we left last week. But let's look in Romans chapter 5. Let's look in verse 2 through 4. Now, if you remember, what we talked about the last time was verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Being justified by faith, you have peace with God. Only if your sins are taken care of. Yeah, that's right. That's sin what separates us from God. You don't know God tonight, it's because you are a sinner. And you haven't repented of your sins. You haven't turned to Christ and believed in Him if you haven't turned from your sins. You're living in a day when we got sin and religion everywhere. The devil's never given up on trying to produce that in people. Sin and religion is idolatry. It's always been around. Did you ever notice how those idolaters ain't got no morals? Did you ever notice that? So I do too. Look at their temples. What do they decorate their temples with? Nudity. And blatant sex acts, right out in little statues and everything, all over their temples. Just looking at you, man. It's like looking at pornography, but that's what their temples look like in India, the Hindus, and all of that. Yes, sir. And now Baptists are the same way. We're talking about it today. You know, it's just a normal thing now for adultery and divorce and fornication. It's accepted. Yeah. People praise God for bringing the right person in their life when they're married. Yes. Bringing another man into their life, some woman. Thanking God for that? What kind of perverted thinking is that? What kind of wicked thinking is that? You're justified by faith. Faith. Faith that believes in God. And it's like we was talking over there this week, and I tried to tell them too, some of them over there, that... the reason people are unbelievers is because they're sinners. If you believe in God, you'll depart from sin. Let everyone named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You don't depart from sin, it's because you just flat don't believe in God. I don't care what you say about you believe, you believe. They praise God and all this, and they're still in sin. They're an unbeliever. You can't believe in God and keep on sinning. You can't do it. You have no fear of God. You have no awareness of God. If you can just keep right on in your sin. That's why sinners go to hell. They don't go to God when they die. Heaven is not for sinners. Amen. You think you're perfect? I ain't no sinner. Sin does not have dominion over me. I can show you right here. You're in the flesh. No, this says I'm not in the flesh if the Spirit of Christ is in me. So that argument's all, don't hold water, bud. Nobody. Uh-uh. You get faith that saves from what? Hell? You ain't saved from hell if you ain't saved from sin. And you ain't going to heaven if you ain't saved from sin. Because it's not entering there. So if we're saved, what are we saved from? Sin. Yeah. If you're going to be raised to walk with Christ, if there's going to be a resurrection in your life, how can that be unless there's a death? Death to what? Sin. Sin bringeth forth death, right? The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You got to get rid of sin if you're going to expect to live forever. Yeah, well, all that's extra. Everybody. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So there you go. All right, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Who's it talking about? Well, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who? Through how? What is it? Through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You gotta believe. And God ain't gonna make you believe. And God ain't gonna give you faith. That's a bunch of nonsense. If God gives it, why don't He give it to everybody? If He don't, He's unjust. The argument's over. God don't give you faith. He gives you His word. And He says, you better believe me. I'm God. I can't lie. I'm telling you the truth. His word is truth. You better believe. You better just look up to heaven and realize that God's God. And you better believe or you're lost. And you're never going to be delivered from your sin. And you can't quit it if you don't believe in God. There's only one way out of this sin that's going to kill you forever in hell. And that's to believe God. And when you look to God and realize God is God and He ain't no puny man like the rest of us, there'll be some fear coming. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't know nothing until you realize God who created that. Just look up at the sky, man, tonight after it gets dark, if it ain't cloudy. Look up there and you can't even begin to see the end of it. And God, all the Bible says about all of that is He made the stars also. And He did. What did He make them out of? Nothing. The things which do appear are not, the things which are were not made of the things which do appear. He made it out of zero, nothing. That's the way God does everything. I thought it was kind of neat over there. I told him Sunday morning or Sunday night about, I made that remark, you know, that until you are, God makes what He makes out of nothing. He don't take something and make something out of it. He makes everything out of nothing. And until you're nothing, God can't do nothing with you. And I thought it was kind of funny. Brother Shepherd come along the next night or so and he said the same thing to him. You got to be zero. Got to be nothing before God can do anything with you. Yeah. So we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now everybody's big on grace nowadays. They don't know what it is. And they've got it all defined wrong. And they seem to think, what it looks like to me, is they think that grace is the atonement for sin. And it's not. Grace does not cover it all. Ain't no such a thing in the Bible. Grace don't cover nothing. The blood of Christ covers our sin. It takes away our sin. Don't cover it. It takes it away. We are, the atonement for our sin is the death of Christ. That's right. He gave His life to atone for our sin. He shed His blood for our sin. Grace didn't forgive us our sin. Grace don't cover our sin. The grace that it's talking about here is a state that we're in after we're saved. After, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter in. We have access to this grace wherein we now stand. We have access through faith by Him. You believe in Him. You have faith in Him. Face the key that unlocks the door. He's the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10, verse 9. Access means admission or the way into a place. Right now, you can't get in the front door of our house, even if you got a key, if it's locked, because the lock's all messed up and won't work. Right? Everybody, all y'all know that, don't you? You got to go to the back door to get in with a key now. Can't get in that door. Jesus is the door. Nobody's entering in outside of Him. Now, what's the key to that door? You just walk up and say, open sesame. And no, that ain't the way it is. You just go, is He an open door? No. You have access by, you have to have the key. Faith. The door ain't opening unless you believe. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And I don't mean that you just have to, you must have an intellectual agreement or consent or admission that he did live. You know, there was a man named Jesus. No. You can't even believe that he's the Son of God. Just believe intellectually. Believing is more than that. Yes, it is. You ain't coming into this thing unless you understand that sin's not coming in with you. You're not dragging that load of garbage through that door into grace. What's the matter with everybody? I don't understand. Boy, the devil's done a wonderful job of blinding everybody nowadays. Because you guys, I don't know how much you look at other churches or know what's going on or talk to the people you work with that go to these other churches. But buddy, we're living in an age of idolatry that ain't been since Israel was carried off to Babylon. Apostasy and idolatry. Sin is rampant in the church. Churches are whorehouses for the most part. That's the best way to describe them. That's what fits them more than any other word. They're not houses of worship. They're houses of partying and whoredom. And that ain't got nothing to do with God. And that ain't got nothing to do with grace. And they talk about grace in those places. And they talk about Jesus in those places. But it ain't this Jesus. And it ain't this grace. Jesus is the door. And it's by him that we have access. Face the key. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47. You better know more Bible than that. That ain't enough right there for you to understand the way of salvation. You hear me? John 3:16 ain't enough for you to understand clearly the way of salvation. If it was, that's all he'd have gave us. Why we got the book of Romans? Why we got the rest of the New Testament? Why we got all those books of the Old Testament? Jesus said, search the scriptures, and he's talking about the Old Testament. For they are they which testify of me. Why is the whole Bible about him? This whole big book. If all we need to know is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If that's all you need to know, what do we need this book for? That's why they've all thrown it out the window. And they just rock on in church and party. And they have no morals. And live in sin. And make a mock at sin. That's why they don't need the Word of God. Grace is the new place where we stand or abide. That means live. We live there. I live in a state of grace if I'm saved. You know what that is? Grace. It's the state of being not only in the favor of God, because grace does have that meaning. It does mean favor, but it doesn't mean unmerited favor. Grace is not for everybody. There's a door and it's locked and you ain't getting into grace except through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in anything else. Not in any made up Jesus either. He's the Lord Jesus Christ that this Bible talks about. The one whose words are written in ink for us to read. And by the way, they're preserved better than ink and paper. They're going to stand forever. It's eternal. And it's preserved forever. And it's his words. You better know what he said. You better understand. You better know him. Read it. Study it. Get to know him. It'll make it easier for you to believe on him. It's a state of being not only in the favor of God, but also under his influence and guidance. Now, you can take any dictionary you want to look at, and that's what you're going to find the word grace means. It's not only favor, but it's the divine influence of God on your heart and life. That's what grace means. I'm walking with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That means he walked with God. That means he listened to God. When God said, Noah, build an ark. I'm going to drown the world. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Noah moved with fear, built an ark. That's exactly what he did. God said, build an ark. Noah built an ark. He said, it's going to rain. Noah said, what's rain? Huh? I'm going to destroy the world. I never heard of such a thing. He was the only one in the world that believed it was going to happen. Maybe some of his family did. I mean, Noah believed God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the way it is. He listened to God. You ain't in grace. You don't know nothing about the grace of God if God has no influence in your life. Or if He is not the prevailing influence in your life. If He's not the Lord of your life. You don't know what grace is. Who do you think you're kidding? Grace. Grace. It makes me angry to listen to them talk about grace as if it's what atones for our sin. Or that it's some kind of bath that you wallow in after you've been in your sin. And it just takes it all away. That is not grace. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Did you ever read that in the Bible? That's in the New Testament. And He said that's what they're going to do. And they've done it. And most people nowadays believe it that way. That the grace of God is a license to sin. It's okay. All I got to do is repent. Go ahead and do it. You can repent later. Preachers in this town have told people in the church to do that. You believe that? Pretty absurd, ain't it? If you know anything about the Bible and the truth, you know that's wicked, buddy. That's why there's a hell for people who'll tell people and teach them that way. And you think I'm being mean? Jesus, what was He so mean with those Pharisees about in Matthew chapter 23? Same thing. Blind leading the blind. You're both going to fall in the ditch. You blind guide, you hypocrites. You vipers. You generation of vipers, you snakes. You children of the devil. That's what Jesus called them. So you think I'm being rough? No, He was rougher on people who thought it was okay to sin. And that religion and God and grace and salvation didn't have nothing to do with sin. Man, you mixed up. Headed to hell if you believe that. Now, I believe that's right. And I've got plenty of Bible to back me up on saying that. Grace is a new place where we live. It's a happy place to be. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, He said there. From the time we believe, we know that the end of all this trouble and tribulation and pain is going to be glory for us in the presence of God. Now, when you get saved, you really get born again, the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And you know, you don't need some preacher to tell you, well, I think you're saved. You don't have to go around and take a poll of everybody that knows you. You think I'm saved? You think I got it? You think I made it this time? No, you don't have to do that. From the time that you yield your soul to God, I know this is right. From the moment that you yield to God for in honesty and sincerity and truth before God, you got an assurance in your heart. You got peace with God. That's what we talked about. I think Gary preached on true peace the other night. But I preached the last time on this. Justified, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I mean, the storm's over as far as all that goes. We got tribulation. We got trouble in this world. But in my soul, I've got peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. We have peace that passeth understanding. All understanding. I know what's ahead. I don't know what's happening between there and here and there, but I know that He's preparing a place for me right now. And He ain't going to demolish it before I get there. He's coming to get me, and He's going to take me with Him, that where He is, I may be also. And I know whatever happens here, if I get hung, shot by a firing squad, drawn and quartered, it don't matter, burned at the stake, I got that to look forward to. That's what's beyond it. Being in this grace wherein we now stand, it's a happy place. Because you can't defeat me now. You can take everything I got. You still ain't. I still am rich. You can't take away from me what I really care about. And what is really important and valuable. You can't take it away from me. I remember reading in the Martyrs, that Book of Martyrs, that one martyr, that emperor or whatever he was, tyrant, was threatening him and trying to make him denounce Christ, and he wouldn't do it. And he said, I'll take away everything you got. And he said, go ahead. That's not what's important to me. And you're not going to hurt me by doing that. I've got riches in heaven. And he just kept threatening him, going, take this and take that and take this and take that. And he couldn't make the guy recant. He said, you can take it all away from me. And I'm still rich toward God. From the time we believe, we know that the end of this is going to be wonderful. The rest of the world doesn't know that. They don't know what's going to happen. And they live in fear and dread of the things coming to pass on the earth. If you're here tonight and you don't really know God and you're still living in your sin, you are worried about the future. Don't look good in this world. You're a young man, a young child, a young woman here. Buddy, the future looks pretty bleak for our country, for our government, for our world. I mean, my. The hell has enlarged itself. The volcanoes and everything, it's a bursting at the seams. We was talking today, I don't know why. For the last few days, several people have mentioned this. But it's just like, it's about over. Just like it's the last calls going out. Yeah. I got an email from No Greater Joy and Michael Pearl. He said, we've been working all of our lives. He said, we've worked our entire life for a harvest. He said, we've been hoping for a harvest. And he said, we can see it happening. We can see the harvest coming in. And he went to telling about the things that were happening. And I see that everywhere. It's just like everybody's kind of got this sense of it's about over. You know, one of these days it will be over. One of these services will be our last. And it'll be our last. Other churches in the land will be their last. And standing in this grace, I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Won't have to say goodbye no more. Everybody we love, we'll all be together with the Lord whom we love. In a place of peace and no more trouble. Boy, in this world, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be a good cheer. Be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he went on to talk about in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you there. And if I go, I'll come again. And he went, so he's coming again. And he said, to receive you unto myself. That where I am, you may be also. Ain't that wonderful, man? Jesus said that. And see, if you're not in this grace, if you ain't by faith unlock the door and walk through, you're not in this grace. And you don't know that. And that don't thrill you. And you just think, huh, they're dreaming. They're imagining. No, it ain't no imagination, bud. It's real. And I know my Redeemer liveth. Job knew it. I know it. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know, Jesus is coming. I don't care what the world says. He said it would be this way. He said there'd be mockers in the last times. And been hearing that all my life. You know, you're going to hear it a few more times, but this may be your last time you hear it. Because he's coming soon, and everybody that is in tune with God and with what's going on knows it. But we look on the things with excitement because we know the end is nearing and we know what waits for us after it comes. That's what we're looking forward to. I'm not dreading it at all. There's no dread and there's no fear. There's just excitement about it. Yeah. Are you afraid? Does it make you afraid when you think about that? You ought to check your heart, man. You ought to check your life. You ought to check where you're at. Check up on it. Examine yourself to see if you be what? In the faith. You ain't in without faith. All right. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Grace is such a blessed and happy state that we not only rejoice in the good things, but also the bad. Now, we're looking forward to going to heaven. We're looking forward to Jesus coming. We enjoy all the good blessings that God gives us in this journey here and in this world. But, you know, there's things that happen. There's bad things that happen to us. And that's the thing that grace does for you. I mean, some of you have been talking about this family that lost all their children in the fire last week, a couple of weeks ago, this Henry family. What in the world? You know, I don't know those people, and I don't know exactly what their spiritual state is. But now let me tell you, it takes something for you to put yourself out in front of the whole world, and everybody's watching. The world is watching. And tell them it's all right. God is good. I heard her before the children all died. They were all burned. It was bad and everything was just terrible. But she said, just don't worry about me. I'll be all right. I just want you to know that God is good. That's all she could say. God is good. God is good. When I lost people that are not in grace, don't say God's good when their children are dying. And everything they have, they've just lost. They get mad at God and hate God for doing this to them. Why did this happen to me? And how could God love me if He's let this happen to me? That's what lost people who don't have any of the grace of God, that's the way they talk. People who are in the grace of God glory in tribulations also. The worst things that can happen, the most unimaginable horrors that can come into your life. If you're in this grace, you'll praise God. If they chain you to a wall in a dungeon and throw away the key, you can sing hymns and psalms at midnight. Paul did. Silas did. Reckon you can? Well, the grace of God, if you're in the grace of God. Now, if you would have asked this lady here who just lost her children and the father too. I mean, I hadn't heard much from him, but if you'd have asked them 3 weeks ago, if you'd have showed them a situation like this and said, you know, what would they have thought about? They would have thought just like we do. They'd have thought, oh my, I don't know how in the world anybody could do that. But that's what the grace of God is. It's it's grace to help in time of need. We don't have a big tank that we just drag around with us of grace. And we just taste it all the time. And we know what it's like all the time. And we just enjoy it all the time. We don't even know that it's there until we need it. But then it's there. There's grace for things like that. There's grace for dying. You watch somebody, a saint of God, die. And you'll see the grace of God. You will see it manifested because he's in grace. He's in this grace. We glory in tribulations also, and we don't just glory because we're going to go to heaven one of these days and everything's going to be fine. We're going to get shed of all these troubles and problems, and oh, hallelujah, can't wait. We don't just rejoice in heaven all the time. We rejoice and glory in tribulations. That's what it says, ain't it? That's the verses we read. Let me read again, see if I'm mistaken here. Grace, we understand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So we glory in tribulation. Are tribulations fun? Do we enjoy them? No. But we glory in them. Why? Because God comforts us in those tribulations. And if you don't know the grace of God, you don't know what I'm talking about. The only ones of you who do know what I'm talking about are the ones who've experienced this. God comforts you. Jesus said he would send the Comforter. Yeah. He said it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. He said it'll be better for you when I'm gone. Because the Comforter is going to be here. The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost. He's going to come. And He'll comfort you in all of your tribulations. And he certainly does. Jesus told the truth. And if you don't believe it, it's because you don't know and you've never experienced. And you oughtn't to run your mouth about stuff you don't know nothing about. Amen. Some of us know. And if you don't know, you just need to hang around a while and listen and do some searching. And if you search with all your heart, guess what you're going to find? God. Yes, sir. We glory in tribulations also. We do not do this before we enter into a life of grace. We sure don't. And since faith is the key, we got into this state of grace by, it is also the key that unlocks all the other treasures of God that he has for us. Did you hear me? Faith is the key that unlocks the door and got us into this. It's the same key that unlocks everything else. It's the same thing that works for every other victory in our life. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Having trouble? Temptation? Got something that just won't, besetting sin? Got something that you just can't deal with? Well, I'm telling you how, right here. Faith. It gets you to grace, which is the instruction, the help God gives. It's the comfort God gives. It's what you need, man. Yeah. We're saved by grace through faith, right? All right. Now, we trust God in all things, good and bad. We know by faith that all things do work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. We know that. And the just shall live by faith. And the just shall walk by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. So, faith's the key. It's the thing that we live by, that we walk by. We keep believing God. You just believe God. That's what them people are doing. That's what it looks to me like they're doing. It's what they say they're doing. I mean, they're just trusting God. There's no answer. Why? Why? Well, it's natural and normal for you in your heart to say, why? You're not. But if you trust God, you're going to give up on that pretty quick. You're going to decide, I don't know. You're never going to find out why. What in the world? How does anybody think they're going to find out an answer to that? Why? Why me? Why did this happen to me? You know, I remember Patty got cancer and her mother said, why you? And she said, why not me? Mom, why not me? Your neighbor's house burns down. You just say, oh, Lord, thank you that it wasn't our house. Think about that. What would a real Christian, what would be his attitude? Well, now come on. You love your neighbor as yourself. Let each esteem other better than himself. You know? That's pretty hard, ain't it? Okay, move along, Brother Mike. Just get this going. Okay, this faith that is the key must be effectual faith. Not all faith is saving faith. Now, y'all understand that, don't you? All right, everybody watch. Now, watch everybody else. Look around you. How many of you got saved the very first time that you came and asked the Lord to save you? How many of you got saved the first time? Well, ain't nobody over here. Ain't nobody in the middle. Dad. How many of you got saved the second time? Anna, all right, there's one. Some of you don't even know how many times you came to the Lord and said, I believe. And every one of those times, probably most of those times, you really thought you were believing. I done all they told me to do. I mean, I did. I listened to what they said and I agreed. I believed. But it wasn't saving faith. Oh, thank God. He's said unto Jonah the second time. And the third time, and the fourth time to a lot of people. The fourth time, the fifth time, sixth time. I've always told everybody, if you didn't get it, just keep coming. Don't give up. Don't give up. And don't try to make people give up. And don't make fun of people for keeping on coming. You come till you get something. Come till you get the real deal. It's got to be effectual faith. It's got to be the kind of faith that saves you. Most people believe, but not to the saving of the soul. Bible talks about that. The devils believe and tremble, but they're going to hell. You, man, you got to have a lot more faith than a devil, and they believe. How do you measure faith? Well, yeah, I don't know how you can measure faith. People try to believe real hard and pray real hard. And they think that if they believe hard, harder, they can make stuff happen. Well, that's a bunch of what you said today, voodoo and stuff. That's magic and witchcraft and nonsense. That ain't the way it works. You just got to believe. Flat believe. Give it all up. Quit believing in yourself. Quit believing in all the nonsense that you've got in your mind from this wicked world and your blinded mind from your sin. Throw it all in the dumpster.
Right. Amen.
And say, I believe God. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm believing God. It's not good to put your trust in men. Have confidence in men. It's not good to trust in princes, the best of men. Better trust in the Lord. Most people believe, but that not to the saving of their soul. They say with their lips that they believe, but in their heart they keep their distance from God. It's like in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Don't you hate it when somebody does you like that? Don't you hate it when somebody talks so sweet and just smooth-tongued to you, and I love you, and you're my friend, no, you're just such a good guy, and then they stab you in the back. As soon as they're away from you, they're cutting you to pieces. What do you think about somebody do you like that? You ain't going to feel too kindly toward them, are you? Well, I want you to know here tonight, God doesn't either. You say, sit in church and say, I love God, I believe God, I believe God. And then you go out there and cuss His name and dishonor Him with everything you can. You're in trouble with God, buddy. You meet up with Him, you ain't going to meet no friend. You ain't going to meet no soft, long-haired, effeminate freak. You're going to meet God. You're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ. You're going to meet Him, and He ain't going to take kindly to what you've done to Him. Oh, well. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus had read Isaiah 29:13 also. You see that? Jesus quoted what I read in Isaiah about people honoring Him with their lips and their heart far from Him. It's like a man telling his wife, oh, I love you, honey, and he's got a girlfriend. Yeah. Or a wife telling her husband, oh, I love you, and while she's whoring around. That's what it's like.
Yes. Yes.
Serious business. You better watch what you say about God, praise or vile filthiness. Praise God with unclean lips and a vile heart. Mercy. God don't take kindly to that. You know how bad it hurts when you find that out about somebody? They've told you that they love you, and all the time they've been treacherously cheating on you, whatever. I don't know how to say it. That's the way it is. That's what God calls it. That's what he calls it. Spiritual adultery. All right, faith that doesn't change your life is not going to change your eternal destiny either. You better get that. So I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Yes, sir, I believe. I'm going to heaven. I've had people tell me that with a cigarette in one hand, a beer in the other. Yeah, I've been born again. You fool. You liar. Who do you think you're kidding? You think I'm going to believe such nonsense? Stand there and cuss filth and talk filth and eat and drink filth and live in filth and then tell me you've been born again? I got a Bible that says any man born in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, all things become new. I got a Bible here that I'm reading out of Romans in that says sin will not have dominion over you, that you won't walk therein. You're walking after the flesh. You're not being led by the Spirit in a life of that, and that's just superficial things. If you'll do that, you'll do a lot of other things too. There used to be a saying, a girl that'll smoke will drink, and a girl that'll drink will do anything. Yeah, that's kind of the way it is here too. Mm-hmm. You cross lines, you ain't fooling nobody. You'll do anything. When you burst, that thing's like water being poured out. That's what it is. It's, you can't stop it. You just fall in. You fall into the pit. The only ones who have access into grace are those who commit themselves completely to Jesus and trust him in all things. Now that's faith. Faith is more than just believing a fact intellectually or a set of facts intellectually. That's why the Romans Road is such a deceitful and tricky thing. You can show people how to be saved, but you're just giving them facts. And if they agree with those four or five facts, that doesn't mean that that's saving faith. Amen. You have to commit yourself. There's a place in John chapter 6 where it says that a bunch of the people believed on him, but he didn't believe on them. He didn't commit himself to them. They believed on him. You look up the words, it's the same word. They didn't commit to him. It says they believed on him, but they didn't commit themselves to him. And he didn't commit himself to them. And later, they turned around and left. In the same chapter, the whole crowd said, we can't take this kind of preaching. And away they went. Remember that? And he turned to the 12 and said, will you go away also? All that was left was the 12. The rest of them said, they just said, we believe. I've seen it happen in church that way. I've had lots of people come to church through the years, several, say, boy, this is the kind of preaching we've been looking for. That's what we like. That's what we need, boy. This is good. 2 weeks, they're gone. We can't take this. Said something that offended me. I mean, if he's going to say that, he's a woman hater. He's a sinless perfectionist. Yeah. Reckon I've ever heard that? Yeah, I have. All right, let's hurry along here. All right. The only one who has access to the grace are those who live by faith. Their whole life's directed by trusting in God and what he says about himself and about the way we are to be and live our life here. Now, that's the only ones who have access into this grace. It's by faith, but it's got to be effectual faith. Faith that won't change your life will not change your eternal destiny. You're not going to heaven because you just said with your lips you believe in Jesus. Or you asked Jesus to come into your heart. There better be some change in your life, in your heart, in your whole soul. There better be some change. Attitude change. There better be a difference in the desires of your heart. It's like I told you this morning. You really get born again, you're going to desire the Word of God. Nobody's going to have to cram it down your throat. You're going to desire to be with the people of God. And ain't nobody going to have to drag you and kick you to church. And you're going to want to tell other people about the Lord. And if those things ain't there, you better realize your faith is not the real deal. It hasn't done for you what real faith does. And you don't have access into grace. And you know what you're going to find out? When tribulation comes along, you ain't got no comfort. That's what you're going to find out with that fake faith, that imitation stuff, that faith that leaves you the option of your sin and lets you keep going the way you've been going. It lets you have the things your flesh wants. You're going to find out in time of trouble, you ain't going to have no anchor. You ain't going to have no comfort. And you're not going to have any Holy Ghost to help you. And the heavens are going to be brass. Yes. And you're going to be one of them that's crying out and looking around for somebody to pray for you. Sad to me. I watch this all the time. You know, I watch people and like the church over there, you know, everybody calls them to pray. Would you please pray? We got a big problem. Please pray. Can't you pray? Where's your comfort? It's okay to ask somebody to pray for you, but I mean, there's a difference when you can tell the difference in people who have the grace of God and those who don't when tribulation comes. They're desperately looking for help and comfort and some way out. Think of Noah again in the ark. Think of that. God said, go into the ark. And they went in the ark. And 7 days they sat in that ark waiting. And the 7 days after they went in that ark, all of a sudden there's this big noise. What happened? God shut the door. Now that's the way the Bible tells us that it happened. God shut him in and shut the world out. And I've thought about that when we was back there preaching on that. I thought, man, what did Noah feel? What went through his mind? What went through the minds of his son sitting there and his wife? I'll bet you there was some worshiping going on. I'll bet you there was some praise in God. Noah found grace. I guarantee you he found it at that moment too. The thrill of his soul to know that he had obeyed God. And he had trusted by faith the Word of God. And it was made real in that instant when that door slammed shut. Mercy. God shut him in there. All right. Well, let's see here. If you're not willing, faith means fidelity. It means faithfulness. It means loyalty. It means an unwavering commitment to another. All right. Only those who profess to have faith. Anyway. All right, now, if we're not willing to give our heart completely to Jesus forever, we're never going to know what grace is. You see? Saving faith is not given as a gift of God either. I want to say that and make it very clear. That is one of the lies from hell that has sent a lot of people there, sitting around waiting on God to give them faith. Waiting on God to do something for them to make them believe. God's done all He's going to do. He ain't going to do nothing else special for you or nobody else. Jesus said, it is finished. Now you better believe it. Here's the facts. God said, do you believe it or not? You say yay or nay to what God said. Faith. It's not something that God injects into you. It's not something that He imputes to you. It's not something that He just pours upon you or pushes a button and clicks and there you go, you believe. It's not the way it happens at all. It's your responsibility. It's your response to the Word and the commands of God. You either believe or you don't. You either say yes or no. Yeah, Lord. Or no, Lord. And everybody in here has done one or the other. You're doing it right now. Saving faith is not given as a gift to God. If God gives faith as a gift, then why don't He give it to everybody? That's my question to you. Why not? He's not just if he gives it to you and don't give it to me. He's not just if he gives it to her and won't give it to you.
Right.
God ain't like, my God ain't like that. That is the very foundation of all truth. Buddy, that is, I'm telling you, this is a foundational thing. You got to start right here. God is just. And anything that won't fit with that, you better throw her overboard. Doctrines and stuff, you better throw it overboard. Faith is not a gift of God. And the Bible doesn't say it's the gift of God. You got to rest the scriptures in Ephesians to get that. Yes, you do. All right, and then there's other verses by the scores. It commands us to believe. And promises are all conditioned on our believing. Our saying yes to God. Our yielding to God. Faith will make you yield to God. In fact, I don't know what faith is yielding to God. I don't know how to separate that. You ain't believing in God unless you yield to Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2. I said chapter 1. I'm sorry. It's chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Grace or faith? Grace or faith? Is faith the gift, or is grace the gift? Grace is the gift, not faith. That's totally contrary to everything else the Bible teaches. You can't take one verse and make a doctrine out of it and change the whole thing up. This verse is the basis for the idea that faith is a gift of God. But that is neuter, and faith is feminine. So it can't be referring to faith as a gift. Did you get that? All you got to do is just do a little bit of studying. Calvinist, you can understand it better if you'll study and believe the Word of God. Salvation by grace is the gift of God. Faith is our response to the Word of God and the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts. We can't have faith without the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? So faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. How do you get faith? You hear the Word of God. You can't have faith without the Word of God. What is it? Faith, what's its object? Where does it come from? What is it? Faith? Believing? Faith? In what? What is it you believe in? My faith got me through. My faith brought us through. If it hadn't been for my faith, I wouldn't have never made it. Faith in what? Most people, and I've said this to you before, I've had people tell me I don't know how what I'm talking about and can't understand it, but most people have their hope is in their faith in their faith. They have faith in their faith. Their hope is how much and to what degree they believe their faith is real. All these faith healers, all these faith people that talk, you know, these charismaniacs and stuff, they talk about faith and believing, and if you have faith, and if you have this, you know, if you believe this way hard, and faith. So you have confidence. Your hope of heaven is your own faith. No, the hope you have better be the Lord Jesus Christ, not your faith. You better believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know if you got effectual faith? What's it done for your life? What's it done to change you? If it hasn't changed you, you ain't got it. I'll tell you right straight up. I'm telling you. And it'll stand in the judgment. I've told you. If it hasn't changed your life, you ain't got it. You better back up and try again. You better back up and try to hit it again. Because you didn't get it that time. You ever get it, it's going to turn your life upside down and all every which way. It's going to change everything. And you will know it once you really believe. All right, we can't have faith without the Word of God and the working of the Spirit of God. So saving faith has its source in God's working in our heart and mind. But believing is our responsibility. grace. We're saved by grace. That means God starts working on us. We're not oblivious to Him. We're not a careless sinner who's asleep and unaware, uncaring, apathetic, unconcerned about the existence and the fact of God. We're not that. When the grace of God starts working on you, you become a troubled sinner, an awakened sinner. And read Romans 7. That's where you'll find the sinner who's been awakened. He knows he's in trouble. He knows he's a sinner. And he don't want to do it, but he keeps doing it anyway. And he knows he should stop, but he can't. And he tries, and he turns over a new leaf, and he makes another stab at it, and he comes to church and starts doing things in the church, and he starts trying to be religious, but it just don't work. He still finds himself doing these terrible things. That's Romans chapter 7. That ain't he's carnal, sold under sin. That ain't no Christian. That ain't nobody's been born again, all things become new. What in the world is the matter with everybody? You won't find a Baptist in 1,000 that don't believe that's the way it is. The best hope you got as a Christian, this is the pinnacle that you can hope for, is just to be carnal, sold under sin. Want to do right, but never able. That's the best you're going to do. Well, the wicked preachers who preach that terrible evil ought to just say, that's my experience and that's all I know. And that's what I'm telling you. They shouldn't preach it for truth because it ain't the truth. Grace awakens the sinner. Oh, it is. It's the wonderful grace of God dealing with your heart. It's that influence of God, the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. But it's not a spook and boogers thing. How does He speak to your heart? Through the Word of God. What does that do for you? It produces faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You hear it, there's something in you that knows that's right. You remember whenever when your heart was awakened, your mind woke up, and you saw the truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Yeah, that's how it happens every time. Every time, every time. And we know that God's faithful to do this for all men. But all men do not believe unto the saving of their soul. That's obvious too. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, that's what it says there. But not all men believe, do they? I was reading the other day and I thought about it and I wrote it down because I wanted to think about it and maybe preach on it sometime. But he preached to them. Paul did. Some believed, some believed not. Everywhere he went. The mass of the people said, this babbler, get him out of here. He's not fit for such a one to live on the earth. And it always said, but there were some who believed and clave unto Paul, among whom were, there's always a few. He went fishing and he caught a few. Most of them got away, but he caught one or two. So, when you hear the Word of God, and you know what He said, and the Spirit of God is wooing your heart, you must respond, or you'll perish. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, condemned, put in hell someday. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 12. Whew. Do you know the Bible said stuff like that? People say, judge not. You better not judge me. You got no right to judge me. You can't condemn me. And the Bible says that they all might be damned. And I ain't cussing. That's what the Bible says. That means condemned. Who believe not the truth. I'm just sitting here tonight telling you, preaching to you the truth, telling you you got to believe the truth. And that real saving faith, the truth is going to overrule your heart and your desires and your thoughts and your opinions and your loves and affections and affinities of this world. And the grace of God is going to win out and faith's going to get you through the door into this grace that we stand in. It's not, you know, the grace of God deals with you. in love and mercy when you're lost. And then when you get through that door and you're in, you're standing in the grace of God. It's a continual assurance. It's what he meant when he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah. Very present help in time of trouble. The door, Christ, opens when we respond to the Word of God that is made real to our soul by the Holy Spirit of God. We're justified by faith, we live by faith, and we walk by faith. And the grace of God is His response to our believing and trusting in Him. Faith is our response to the truth of God. Have you believed? Well, if you've believed, you've heard God's response. You're in the grace of God. Standing there in the grace of God. You know what it is. You know what it is for God to help you, to comfort you, to assure your heart, to still your fears and give you assurance and give you hope. You know what that is. If you don't know what that is, man, I would highly recommend it to you tonight. Believe God. Believe in Him. Have faith in God. See, Paul was on a ship. The ship was in big trouble. I mean, they, in that storm, it was done for. They done and throwed everything overboard, and it was all, it looked like they just threw out an anchor and hoped for the day. They's done. When all hope was lost that we should be saved, he said. Then Paul stood for you. Remember what he said? Fear not, for I believe God. Remember that? I've always kind of stuck to that. It's one of those things that just stuck with me. Paul. They wouldn't listen to him. Fear not, for I believe God. God's assured me this night that we ain't going to die. See, Paul had peace in the storm. He was justified by faith, and he had peace with God. Even though the storm, about to sink him, and everything, all lost, all our cargo, everything was gone, and looked like it was over, buddy. They hadn't seen the sun for days. They done everything they could do. Next thing to do is sink. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, guys. I believe God. And he's in charge now. The prisoner. One man with faith. It makes a difference. It does. It does. All right. I'll quit. Y'all looking kind of, I don't know. What are you looking like? Oh, it's wonderful. Sure is a lot better on this side than it was on the other side. Sure am glad I got in the ship and went to the other side, because it's better over here. Sure is a lot better than it was over there. Wasn't no help, wasn't no comfort, wasn't no hope. But on this side, it's a whole lot better. When I was on the other side, I thought everybody's on this side was hypocrites and phonies and fakes and just hateful and thought so much of themselves. I got over here on this side and I found out they're not like that at all. They're just hoping that everybody that's on that other side will come on over. Find out how wonderful it is to know God and to walk with Him and to have the grace of God, to stand in this grace of God, to believe in God and have hope and peace and comfort. Because life's full of troubles. You think you're young and you think you've had some troubles? Just wait. Life's full of them, man. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to give you some help for what's coming. Trying to hand you this stuff and say, you're going to need this. Better take this. I'm giving it to you. It's free. Better take it now because you're going to need it down the way. It's like you're fixing to cross a long, hot desert and I'm loading you up with supplies and stuff to defend yourself with. Trying to give it to you. Better take it. Better take it. Better not just turn your nose up at it and strike out anyway. It's a desert out there full of perils and dangers and snares. You better listen. You're going to need this stuff. I'm telling you the way to live this life and make it through to the other end. You better believe God. You better live your life in the grace of God. Yes, amen. Let's stand. Let us stand. We'll have a word of prayer here. Are you in? Are you in tonight? Wonderful. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access through faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Wonderful. Right. Are you in? How many of you think you're in? Amen. Don't let the ship sail without you. It's fixing to sail, I'm telling you. Better get on board. The good old gospel ship, we used to sing that song. Ship ahoy. Remember that one? Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the liberty to preach it tonight. Thank you for the wonderful grace of God wherein we stand. Thank you for your word that we can read, we can hear, we can study, and by it we can have faith that gets us through the door into this grace. What a way to live. So much better. What a wonder. You came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Oh, I understand. I understand. I don't understand all of that, I'm sure, but I do understand what you were talking about. I don't feel like I lived until I was born again. I remember a lot before, but it seems like my life started when I yielded my heart to Thee. And Lord, I really feel that way. Pray, Lord, You'd work in hearts here tonight. There's a few that didn't raise their hand. I don't know why they would stay over there on the shores of Gadara when they could get in the boat and come right across the sea onto the other side and find peace and joy and comfort, grace to help in their trials. Lord, work in their heart. Help them to see. I can't do any more than I've already done. I just pray, Holy Spirit, You'd take the words and keep them before their mind and help them to realize that they just humble themselves before You. Seek Your face. Yield their heart. Believe Your word that You'll save them. And that's it. They can get in through the door. They just got to come through that door. The Lord Jesus Christ. Please go with us now as we leave. I pray You'd continue to work through the message. And I pray that You'd help us this week to be fishers of men. And Lord, give us fruit for the labor, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.